As I said earlier, this morning we start our summer of joy. And it's a fascinating concept, joy, isn't it? One that I want us to dig into a little bit, mainly through Luke's gospel. And because he sort of resonates the story of Jesus with a lot of joy. But this morning, just to have a little bit of an overview, perhaps, to get us started. It's interesting when you look at the word joy, the English word joy translated in the Old Testament, so in the Hebrew language, the word joy means sort of gladness and mirth, and it's often used to describe the feeling when you go to a festival. So that sense of joy at something special happening, a unique sort of event. Now when you go into the New Testament, so the Greek New Testament, the word for joy in Greek actually comes from the same root word as the word for grace. And so a definition of joy in the New Testament, in the Greek language, would be more like the awareness of God's grace. So grace, a joy is grace recognized. I love that definition. Joy, the feeling we have in us, is a recognition of God's grace. And this month, what I'd love you to do this month is to find places where you recognize God's grace at work. It might be in a person that you encounter. It might be in a place you go to. It might be in an activity you take part in. But I'd love you to keep in your mind throughout this month this sense of joy as being grace recognized, where we stop ourselves in the busyness of whatever is happening, in the ordinariness and the normalness of our days, and we point and say, there is God's grace. And when we pause to recognize it, that sense of joy will be a gift to us in that moment. And so every other Sunday this month, what I'd love us to do is to share some of those moments. So write down when you've recognized God's grace at work, and then we'll have an open mic each Sunday. I know that's risky, but we'll have an open mic each Sunday, and I want to hear 10 recognitions of God's grace that people in our congregation have had during the week. Would that be okay? Are we up for that? So just keep a little record. You may only have one, that's fine. You might have 100. Hey, fill a book. But let's recognize God's grace and let's experience this joy that the Bible talks about. Now, when you look at the four Gospels in particular, those good news accounts of Jesus' birth, his death, his resurrection, his teaching, you'll see joy punctuating his whole life. And not only him, but also the people that he encountered as well. Joy is like on every page in the gospel accounts, whichever gospel you want to pick. But Luke in particular, whether it's the birth of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus, in the followers of Jesus, even in the death of Jesus, you'll find joy. Because joy is grace recognized. Awareness. And that's going to be our definition this week. Because that sort of joy transcends our feelings. It transcends what's going on around us every single day when we pause to recognize God's grace. That's the deep joy. I was going to sing to you this morning. Did you sing that chorus? I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Does anybody know that chorus? And we would all shout out, where? Down in my heart, because that's where it resides, right deep down. So no matter what is happening around us, there's a joy in the followers of Jesus. It's different from happiness. It's different from laughter. It's something deeper, grace recognized. And I guarantee if you're having the worst day in your life, you will still be able to see God's grace somewhere, somehow. So recognize it, because it transcends those experiences. It transcends those feelings. It transcends even the best party and celebration you've ever been to. It's more than that. Because it's in here. It's that joy. And the presence of Jesus brings joy. Now, when we go back to Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 1, you'll know that that's about the starting of the birth of Jesus. And I want to talk about Christmas today. Is that okay? Christmas in August. I thought we could have a bit of fun with Christmas. We're going to sing a Christmas song to finish with today as well. Hope that's okay. Well, it's a song we sing at Christmas, even though it's not really a Christmas song. But right at the beginning of the birth of Jesus, we see this joy beginning to come. In that encounter between Elizabeth and Mary, so Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, she's pregnant. Mary, the mother of Jesus, comes to see Elizabeth. Mary's pregnant as well. And you may know in Luke chapter 1, Elizabeth says, the baby inside her, John, leapt for joy in the presence of the unborn Jesus. Right before he was born, he was bringing joy to people, to the unborn John. And in verse 45 of Luke chapter 1, Elizabeth says to Mary, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And that word believe means to recognize, to become aware of what God is doing. Right before Jesus is born, Mary recognizes God's grace. Elizabeth recognizes God's grace. There's joy in that room. The presence of Jesus brings joy. Even the presence of an unborn child brings joy because of who that child is. And when you look through the Christmas story, you'll see Luke says the shepherds, what did they do? After seeing Jesus, they returned with joy back to their fields. Simeon and Anna, joy welling up in them when they were able to hold this baby Jesus in the temple, the long-awaited Messiah, and the Magi as well. Joy is grace recognized, and all through the Christmas story, you'll see this joy because the presence of Jesus brings joy. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Right then, echoing what was going to happen hundreds of years later. And if you look in Psalm 45 as well, you'll see the most amazing psalm. My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. You are the most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace since God has blessed you forever. You know, this psalm, Psalm 45, is a wedding song. Have a read of it later. It's a song announced at the wedding, the bride and the groom. It's a place of joy. And in verse 7 of Psalm 45, the writer says, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. See, this psalm is about a wedding, but do you think it's pointing towards someone else? Do you think it's pointing towards Jesus, the bridegroom, to come still? You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. The anointment on Jesus. There's joy in the presence of him before he was born and throughout his life. We get to glimpse this joy. And John, in chapter 3, he writes the first miracle of Jesus at that wedding in Cana. Here's the psalm of a wedding song pointing to a bridegroom who was to come. And then Jesus sat around the table at the wedding in Cana, makes himself known. He sits at the table and the wine runs out. But he ensures that joy does not run out because he is the one anointed with joy. And the abundance of joy, the best kind of joy, gets poured out of a set of very ordinary water jars, and the party continues. There's no stopping the joy, and people became aware of God's grace. See, the presence of Jesus brings joy. God's there, and we can become aware of it and be changed by it. Even when the wine has run out, even when it feels like things are going wrong in your life. Even when it's difficult to know the way forward. Even when you've suffered a tragedy and a loss. When your plans are not coming to fruition. Even then, Jesus is still joy because we still recognize God's grace. He's in the places of sadness. He's in the places when you feel like your wine has run out. He's in the places of disappointment. He's in the places of frustration. When we recognize his joy, it still brings us joy. And right at the end of his life, after the resurrection, he meets his disciples who have been devastated, who are sad, who are fearful, who seem to have lost the joy of being in his presence. And then in Luke chapter 24, Jesus shows up again and he gives them this incredible promise. The promise of Jesus brings joy as well. And suddenly in their despair, in their doubt, Jesus comes into the situation. Standing right in front of these dejected followers of Jesus, their disappointment, their frustration, they're wondering what's going to happen next. Standing right in front of them, Jesus comes. God's grace is right in front of them. And the resurrection suddenly becomes a reality to them. The promise that he would come back has now been fulfilled in person. The fearful followers are now ready to follow. To follow again because of his grace. And Jesus says to them, Luke 24:49, I'm going to send you what has been promised. And they went back, verse 52, full of joy. Because Jesus, the promise had been fulfilled. Aware of God's grace. What was the promise Jesus gave to them about joy? Luke chapter 5, John chapter 15, verses 9 to 11. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in your love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. John 17, verse 13, part of the prayer Jesus prayed for his disciples. He says to the Father, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they, his disciples, may have the full measure of my joy within them. The full measure of my joy. This is not scarcity. This is the full measure of joy. This word literally means to cram in. It also means to level up, which is interesting, isn't it, given the leveling up we hear? Or to furnish, to imbue, to diffuse, to influence, to satisfy, to finish, to fill, to fulfill, to full up to the top. My joy will be complete. Full up with joy. That's the promise of Jesus. That comes to his followers as well. But here's my third P today. The promise, his presence, the pain of Jesus brings joy. The pain of Jesus brings joy. Is there anything stopping us from receiving joy? The writer to Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The high priest sat down. Because everything now was finished. That's why the high priest could sit down. Prior to Jesus, the high priest had to keep on going into the Holy of Holies every year, making sacrifices for atonement, and he had to stand up in God's presence and do it again and again. But this high priest, he sat down because the work is finished. The Old Testament rituals, which could never be complete, now Jesus has finished them once and for all. See, that's the pain of Jesus which brings joy, because he knows that the job is done. And he knows that the impact on us as his followers 2,000 years later is still the same as it was then. It brings us joy because of his sacrifice, because of the pain that he suffered. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down. That's the starting place for joy. He sat down, and it enables us to discover the joy and be full and complete because of his sacrifice. we're going to share communion today. This is an awareness of God's grace today. As we pause to remember and give thanks, we become aware again of his body broken, of his blood shed for us, for me. Grace recognized, bringing us joy because of what he's done. Through his presence, through his promises, and through his pain, we get to have joy.